All right, today is June 22nd, year 2008. It's the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. And we're going to continue on in the same vein about what we were talking about last week about drug addictions. Now, last week we were talking about the physically addictive drugs like heroin and Vicodin, which is hydrocodone vitrate. Now, by physical addiction, we mean that if you withdraw from that drug abruptly, you can die. It absolutely enslaves your whole physical body. But all addictions, this has to be mentioned, are also spiritual or mental addictions. Now, the world calls them psychological addictions. I don't like the word psychology or psychological. All addictions are spiritual and mental. Some are also physical. Okay, spiritual mental addictions are those where people are overeating too much or alcoholism. Now, alcohol is also a physical addiction also. A child could be addicted to his teddy bear that he likes, and he doesn't want to give it up. And then the parents are trying to get him out of that stage and get away from dependent on that little teddy bear that he has. He's addicted to that teddy bear. He's spiritually addicted to it, mentally addicted to it. Not physically, though. Because if you take the teddy bear away from the kid, even though he's going to take a temper tantrum, he's going to cry, he's going to pout, he's going to punch the wall, he's going to roll all over the place maybe, which if you did that, you should spank him anyway and give him a real reason to cry. You want to cry? I'm going to give you a real reason to cry. Just keep doing that. We're going to do it again. We're not going to feed you. But anyway, the point is, he is spiritually and mentally addicted to that teddy bear because he loves it so much. He's over-attached to it. And so he's getting older to the stage where you want to take that away from him. Watch what he does. Now, you're going to look at him, and it's going to look like he's going through some... And it does, when you're in spiritual addiction or mental addiction, you also bring pain upon your body. You do, you know. Your heart could palpitate. You can break out into sweat. You can cause physical problems, but that's not really physical addiction. Physical addiction is something that when you take the thing away from the person that he's addicted to, he's going to die. He's going to die. His body became so dependent upon it that his whole physical body will die. That's heroin addiction. That's Vicodin, hydrocodone vitrate addiction. Those are those types of addictions that go with physical. But all addictions, the heroin, the marijuana, the cocaine, the alcohol addiction, the addiction to chocolate, people overeat chocolate, or coffee addiction, caffeine. My point here is that all addictions are spiritual and mental, and some are physical. And you can see, because people got so used to having that thing in their life, that when you take it away from them, they really get depressed spiritually. They pout and they moan, and they can make a whole big stink. And at times you can even look, it looks like as if they're going to die sometimes, if they really are attached to that item. But they're really not going to die if you take it away. As long as you don't give them a weapon that can kill themselves. The only way they can die from taking away something that's spiritually and mentally addictive is suicide. And that is what happens, by the way, with a lot of these drugs, that these people finally, when they try to get off them, or even when they're on the drugs, you know, they commit suicide. That's another issue, but that's not physical addiction. Okay, so to make the distinction between physical addiction and what I call spiritual and mental addiction, okay, the world calls it psychological addiction. Now, drugs that are only spiritually and mentally addictive but not physically addictive are drugs like cocaine, marijuana, methamphetamine. Now, those are spiritually and mentally addictive drugs, but not physical. Now, when you stop taking them, you are going to spiritually crave that drug so much that it will almost seem like it's a physical addiction, but you won't die if you take that person off that drug. His body has not become so used to it that it depends upon his very survival. The worst part about all those drugs, like with any other addiction, is the spiritual mental dependency that you have from using that drug. It's just like somebody, too, who's like used to doing anything. You can be addicted to base sports. It's an addiction. If you're looking at sports too much, and that's all you're doing, or you're recreating too much, you like war games, good legitimate recreation is, but you're overdoing it, you became addicted to it. A guy who's addicted to sports, and that's all he's doing, take his baseball away or his football away, he's going to go crazy. He's going to pout, he's going to complain, he's going to brood, he's going to be depressed, he'll lose sleep, he's going to have nightmares. All this stuff is going to happen, but that's all a spiritual mental addiction. It's technically, by him not watching that baseball game, it's not causing his body to die, but you can see all the pains that you give yourself spiritually from things that you're spiritually addicted to. And that's why they tell you, even with drugs like heroin that are physically addictive, that's not even their worst problem. They can get you over that physical addiction by weaning you off. Your biggest problem with addiction is your spiritual mental dependency upon it. In essence, you really idle. You put that, if it's a legitimate thing you can use, like alcohol or sports, but you misused it, you idolized it, and therefore God punished you with that addiction. He made you addicted to it, and he's going to make it, you're so dependent upon it that if it's taken away from you, you're going to go crazy, almost kill yourself, okay? And that's because you idolized that object. Now, there's other things that are intrinsically evil. That can never be used. Now, alcohol, if it's used in moderation, is a very good thing. We read that in Ecclesiastes. Wine was created in the beginning to make the men joyful and not to make them drunk. We're not Puritans. I say that many times. Only the Puritans are out there trying to say that Jesus drank grape juice and it wasn't wine, because to fulfill their Pharisaical scrupulosity on the right side. And you follow those people around. They fall out of it. They're out of church anyway, but they fell out on the right side. And they become liberal in many other ways also. All right, but there's certain things that, like chocolate, if people are eating too much chocolate, if they're watching too much sports, sports is not evil. Watching sports too much is evil because you abused it. You went beyond the normal. You cannot control your passions. And that's really the main problem that's happening with all addictions. Everybody who can't control their passions is under, to one way or another, is under that Romans 1 curse where our Lord said, because you like not to have God in your knowledge, he turns you over to a reprobate sense. Now, Catholics could even fall under that because they're not studying their faith the way they should. They're not praying the way they should. They're not mortifying themselves the way they should. And they're not trusting in God the way they should. They're losing that type of trust and faith in God that you need to go to him when you have problems, instead of going to another object and becoming obsessed with that object. And addiction is a turning away from God, really. And then when God takes his grace away from you because you turned away from him and idolized that object that you're addicted to, unless by an extraordinary grace from God, you're never going to get out of it. People who love their spouses and family members more than God is an addiction. You're addicted. That's common in the world today among family members. They're addicted to love between, they love human beings more than they love God. Look at some of the songs you hear out there. They're singing about their wife. You're everything to me. Without you, I'm going to die. I adore you. I worship you. I praise you. This is all idolatry. It's an inordinate passion. You went too far with your love and you started to love that object more and you became addicted to the spouse or addicted to your children. And it's just a form of idolatry, and it's all a form of lack of faith in God. And the worse you are, generally people that, especially who had the faith like Catholics and go bad, it becomes even worse, or an apostasy or heresy. And then God puts them under the Roman 1 curse. They can't control their passions and they abuse even good things. But what I want to talk about today is some of the things that people are addicted to that are intrinsically evil. You can't even use them at all. Marijuana. Now, heroin, you can argue about that because it's like morphine and there's a purpose for it to kill pain. But they really don't let you use heroin because it's that addictive. That's the reason they don't, because it is very dangerous. But morphine is very close to heroin. Vicodin pills are too. Okay, but if you took the Vicodin pill and the morphine, like the doctor told you, under his supervision, only 2 or 3 weeks, and then you stop using it, fine. Because that doesn't really, the heroin, the Vicodin and the morphine, doesn't really, what I say, alter your mind. It makes your mind sleepy. It makes it foggy. It makes it sort of very relaxed. And that's the part where if that happens too often, you get addicted to it, then the devil can come in. But it doesn't distort reality. There's other drugs out there that actually distort reality, that actually change your perception of reality. Marijuana is a biggie. A lot of people out there are trying to make marijuana legal. Marijuana is intrinsically evil. It is diabolical. It is not even, it's not in the class of painkillers. If they're used legally, painkillers have their purpose. And they don't distort the mind. You put it to sleep and they make you groggy and sleepy. Okay, and then anybody, like I always tell the brothers out here, I love to study and read the scriptures and be sharp in my mind. So if ever I was in the hospital for some reason, somebody put me on painkillers for 2 weeks, legitimately, I'd say, I can't wait to get off of these things because I'm always tired and groggy. I can't read my scriptures. If I became addicted to it, then God would also throw me under the double curse with devils coming in. But marijuana, from the very first moment you smoked that marijuana, it changes your whole perception of reality. It's not as bad as LSD, but it's not hallucinatory. LSD, they say, is a hallucinogen, which means you can actually see different things that aren't even there. And things appear. But marijuana is very close to that. It distorts your judgments. It puts you into a fantasy world. It makes you paranoid. It makes you lazy. Marijuana is totally diabolical, even though it's not physically addictive. It is spiritually, mentally addictive, and it's even worse than your painkiller drugs and what it does to your mind. It changes your whole concept of reality. You don't see reality for what it is anymore. Everything is, you're looking at everything and not in its true light, and you can't judge things properly, and it brings paranoia upon you, and it brings intense laziness upon you, and almost demons right away. Anybody who's smoked marijuana out there can tell you that. You're opening up your mind for immediate possession from devils the minute you start smoking marijuana. Immediately. There's no proper use for that drug, period. End of discussion. They're trying to make it legal because they're saying we can use it for this. You can't use it for nothing. You come up with some other reason. That drug is a mind alterer. It causes paranoia. It prevents you from making proper judgments, and it causes intense laziness. And I was talking to one of these kids in town here, and I was trying to convert these group of kids out there, and I was walking by, and I started to talk to them. And I was talking to them about the Catholic Christ and the faith real briefly, you know. And then the one little kid, I don't know, he looked like he was about 7 or 8, just had the use of reason, 8 years old, little tot. And he comes up and he goes, Hey, racist, Jesus smoked marijuana, marijuana's good. I says, where did you hear that from? Who told you that? He says, well, he created it, didn't he? I says, he created poison too. Are you going to drink that? I says, not everything he created was made to eat. And if it's poisonous, you cannot eat it. See, and I, right away, what does that tell me about that kid? His parents are smoking marijuana. And they may be giving it to that kid. Marijuana is what we call the big dummy down drug. You want to become a dumb. You want to become dumb and stupid? Due to marijuana. Everything becomes distorted. You know, this was the big drug of the hippies. And it's really, they're trying to escape reality. And it's a coward's escape out of the world. Because the world is messed up. I do agree with you. That's no excuse for you to go to drugs. Yes, the world's messed up. Yes, you can't find truth in any religious leaders, in any adults, the political system. Everything does rot to hell. That's true. I agree with you. Children out there and you adults that got addicted to drugs. But they gave you no right to become a coward and go over and use drugs to escape the reality of the matter. You should have prayed to the Lord God, even if you didn't know who He was, and say, God, whoever you are, I'm not sure who you are. The world's messed up. Help me. I got to fight against this thing. And even if you haven't found the true God yet, stand up and fight against these things to their face with the truth. Asking God for help, but don't go to the drug. Now, the Jew was the first one to put the drug in the hands of everybody because they wanted to corrupt the world with perversion. Cocaine's another drug that has no use whatsoever. It's intrinsically evil. So they put these drugs at the disposal of the children and made it easy for them to do and lied to them in the beginning. And got the, and, but this is all, you can say, why did God allow this to happen? We're going to read about it shortly in the Book of Wisdom. God allows it to all this to happen because you turned away from the Lord God. You turned away from the Catholic God and the true Catholic Church and the teachings of the true Catholic faith. And when that happens, God turns you over to the devil and you can't control your passions. You don't go to God for the solution. So God says you turned yourself over to the devil. He's all yours. And so then you become addicted to drugs. You become addicted to sports. You become addicted to alcohol. You become addicted to food. You become addicted to human love, loving humans more than God. You can't control your passions because God's no longer giving you the grace to do it because your first sin was that you turned away from God. One of the scriptures says somewhere, says the beginning of all sin is the devising of idols. That's in the Book of Wisdom. So the beginning of all sin, and the reason people can't control themselves, and I keep telling you, hammering this home to you people, I had my own problems out there, and God made me aware of it. He says, your immoral problems are nothing compared to your big problem, Richard. What's my big problem? You lost your faith in me. You didn't turn to me for help. You weren't searching for the truth of the Catholic faith. That's the main problem. Sins against the first three commandments are so much eviler, the immoral sins pale in comparison to that. So Richard, first you come back to me and I'll clean up your moral life. People who are addicted to drugs now, people who go to marijuana, whatever the drug might be, whatever your addiction is, it's an escape from the true God because you're not, instead of getting down on your knees and saying, Lord God, I know you have to be out there, can you show me the right way? All the people who are crazy in this world, that's a correct assessment. But fight against it. Go up and refute them. Don't escape through taking drugs that are going to take your mind off of it and make you forget about reality. Marijuana is one of the biggest drugs in that realm. It is diabolical. I went to school and colleges and I know what it can do. I've seen what it does to people. It is totally diabolical. Totally, this marijuana drug. And then they went even further because it wasn't enough for them for their mind to be deluded about judgments because your mind gets totally deluded. They're always depressed. Or they're always just down. It's more like a downer thing. They're just big jamokes, we call them. Moping up. You know? They're just moping all over the place. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to talk about anything. They can't see anything in a proper light. And then they wanted to go even further. They says, it's not enough for me to start thinking about reality in a different way than it really is. I want to also begin to see things differently in reality. That's where LSD comes in, which came out again, and it was an hallucinogen where people actually start to see things. Pink elephants in the room, they start to see things that aren't there. They're taking showers and blood's coming out of the shower and all that. It gives you, it's a hallucinogenic drug. And then you're opening up your, on top of just the drug itself, with what it does to you, is diabolical. You get the devils coming in on top of you and just flooding in. The minute you smoke that first marijuana cigarette, devils are flooding into you. And every time you smoke it after that, devils are flooding into you. And they're assisting the evilness of that drug in itself is evil, but it's like you opening a gate for the devil to come in and really mess with your mind. That's where you get these people who have these theologies like, is a cat or a dog? Well, if I think that cat's a dog, then to me it's a dog. Where does that come from? Marijuana, LSD, all these people that look at reality in a different way. And why did God let it comes from perverse theology? This was being taught by theologians who didn't even take marijuana. They were possessed by devils that put these thoughts into them. Marijuana is a quick way to get to that path without going through perverted theology. You want to get to that same lack of reality? Study these bad imprimatur books by these heretical bastard theologians. By the time you're done reading that book, you're going to think you smoke a whole bunch of marijuana yourself if you're believing them. If you're of goodwill, your head's going to go, you're going to say, I can't read this stuff no more. It ain't making sense. Now, these guys were perverted. It's showing you. Lack of faith brings that type of disillusionment about reality upon you. Marijuana will take a kid to that by the direct path without having to be perverted by the theology. But it starts out with lack of faith in God. That's why I speak to the modern theologians. Nobody can make a judgment in him. Nobody can know if anybody's ever guilty. Nobody can be accused of really being sinful. Nobody can be told they're going to hell anymore. You look at the sin, it's no longer a sin. They'll tell you all kinds of horrible things, that if you have a pagan high priest that offers up human sacrifices to his demon god, that person is actually doing a good thing because he's following his own conscience and he can be saved. Perverted theologians. These guys, it's as if they smoke marijuana. Just read their books. So then God let them... That's why the marijuana drug comes in too, popular, because people already lost the faith. And then God says, I'm going to give you a drug that's perfect for you guys. You're going to love this drug. You guys are really, really, really going to love it, I tell you, because you're already messed up. It fits with your perverted mentality. I will tell you, you first start teaching stuff like that in the theology books, and you don't really believe it, but you want to lead people away from the faith, and you begin to believe that, and it really comes down to looking at a cat and saying it's a dog instead of a cat. Then God says, I'm going to give you a marijuana drug that when you smoke it, it's going to make you even more believe that that cat really is a dog. And then I'm going to give you the LSD drug, and then that cat's going to look like a dog. You see what I mean? It's the end of the road. Our Lord said at the end of the road, black does look white, and white looks black. When you get to that stage, you're doomed. You're damned. And it doesn't excuse you for invincible ignorance. It says that you've been so wicked that God put the operation error down upon you and let demons go in there. And you don't even have to take LSD for that to happen. God can let, the devil can go into your mind and make you see something differently. So people are, all this drug abuse, especially these mind-altering drugs, is a result of apostasy from God. You read these theologians that I'm talking about in the 1880s and the 1900s and even before that, these so-called Catholic theologians, your mind is spinning. You would be thinking these guys were smoking pot. But it was the apostasy. They were creating an illusionary world. They were even going against common sense. That even a pagan has a law upon his heart. So if you were going to try to convert a pagan into Catholicism, and he read one of these heretical theologian books that has a Catholic imprimatur, and this guy's going to go, man, these guys are messed up. I don't know what this guy's talking about. He's saying we can never know if anybody ever committed a sin. You can't make no judgments. You're not allowed to do this. You can't do that. Black is white and white is black. No goodwill person will come into that. And that was going on for quite a while. And then the end result of that is addiction to these drugs I'm talking about because you apostatized from God. Now, the Book of Wisdom 17 talks really greatly about why this is all from the devil and why people become addicted to marijuana is because they're in the realm of the devil and God allows that to happen. All right, so he gives you what you've been looking for anyway. Anybody who went into these drugs, he's escaping reality. He's a coward. Instead of standing up on your 2 feet and facing down these things. You know, some of the people did get away from these drugs and realized how bad they were. And it says, you know, this is really a cop-out. We're being cowards. It's just like going to sleep and ignoring their problem, you know? Instead of really looking for God and looking for the solution and trying to fight in some way without these mind-altering drugs, the problem that's before you. If you started to fight for truth and justice, even if you didn't have the true God, instead of going to these drugs, God will give you actual graces and you'd end up in the Catholic Church if you're ultimately of goodwill. But these marijuana drugs and cocaine also alters the mind. Marijuana even more is intrinsically evil. This excuse where people want to try to lift it up, it's just them trying to make a reason. You even have those Rastafarian goofballs. Look at them. They diabolical bastards out there in Haiti. They idolize, they call it bungee weed or something. And they smoke that marijuana and they idolize it like it's a god. But all, and notice too, a lot of these cults going back from the beginning of time that really fell away from God and became really paganistic, they did turn over to some form of mind-altering drug. In which they would take before their occultic orgies or whatever, or their meetings, and so devils can come into them, you know? And so, our Lord's telling us in Wisdom 17, you're going to read about the same symptoms as what happens to someone who smokes marijuana or takes hallucinogenic mind-altering drugs. They go into a fantasy world. Reality is not real anymore. They can't judge it. They become very paranoid and they become very lazy. And Wisdom 17 tells us the reason of all this. We're going to read that chapter now. For thy judgments, O Lord, are great, and thy words cannot be expressed. Therefore, undisciplined souls have erred. For while the wicked fought to be able to have dominion over the holy nation, the Catholic Church and Catholicism, they themselves being fettered with the bonds of darkness and a long night, shut up in their houses, lay there, exiled from the eternal providence. He's now talking about people that turned away from the Catholic God and the Catholic Church. We know that was happening in a big time with laymen, even in the late 1800s, when we have all those things I just told you about the great apostasy, even went before that. So he's saying, and so even nominal Catholics and bad Catholics, who think they were Catholic, you rebelled against the Catholic God and don't even know. You think you're still Catholic? That don't mean nothing. You're not Catholic. A lot of Jews thought they were good Jews in the Old Covenant era, and they weren't good at all. They were diabolical. The Jews that killed Jesus thought they were good. They were evil. Now he's talking about people to set the stage that turned away from the true God. They no longer have faith in Him. They no longer believe in Him. They no longer are professing Him. And that means they're actually His enemies. And he goes, and while they thought to lie hid in their obscure sins, they were scattered about under a dark veil of forgetfulness, being horribly afraid and troubled with exceeding great astonishment. Already God's grace is gone from them. He's troubling their mind. And this is without even the drug. God's allowing the devil to do this with them now because of their apostasy from God, like the bad theologians even. But these drugs just precipitate this behavior immediately when you take it. But you're going to read this. For neither did the den that held them keep them from fear. For noise is coming down trouble them, and sad visions appearing to them affrighten them. Akin to like, that's the LSD thing where you're seeing the vision. And no power of fire could give them light. Neither could the bright flames of the stars enlighten that horrible night. And there's also the distortion of reality that marijuana gives you here. Their fears when there's nothing to be feared at. But there appeared to them a sudden fire, very dreadful, and being struck with the fear of that face which was not seen, they thought the things which they saw to be worse. It now goes, and the delusions of their magic art were put down, and their boasting of wisdom was reproachfully rebuked. Now he's talking about the Egyptians back here, because they were fighting against the true God back then. And by their magic diabolical arts, they tried to defeat the true God of Israel. And instead of their magical arts actually succeeding, it brought a curse back upon their own heads and put them under a delusion of darkness. And they themselves fell under a spell, and their magic arts could not pull them out of it. That's today, all the self-help groups, all your magic arts, all your AA groups, all your psychologists and psychiatrists that try to help you get out of these problems, all these other false religions you go to for help will not be able to do it, because all your magic arts are going to be put down. Look at the world today, it keeps getting worse. You keep getting more drug addicts, more alcoholics, more homosexuals, more adultery, more stealing, more lying. I say to the United States, this diabolical black magic country of diabolical arts, all your black magic will never be able to cure it. It'll only make you worse. It's the actual cause and one of the results of all your grievous sins against the true God, because you don't have faith in the true God. And he's saying, again, and the delusions of their magic art were put down, and their boasting of wisdom was reproachfully rebuked. They always talk about how wise we are today, but look at the world. If you're so wise, how come the places are wrecked? And your own families even. And he says, for they who promised to drive away fears and trouble from the sick soul were sick themselves of a fear worthy to be laughed at. All these teachers that are supposed to tell you how to be good, go home and follow that guy. He's a cuckoo brain. He's nuts. Sigmund Freud. If you probably followed that guy, you probably see him standing on his head in a toilet with his head in the toilet. That's about as stupid as he is. I'm serious. Worse than that even. Follow the guy. If anybody who knew these guys who were trying to cure you, follow them home and look at what they're doing. Look at the way they're talking. Look at the things they do. Look at the things they say. They may as well stick their head in a dung pit and keep it in there that's how stupid they are. And they're the ones that are going to teach you how to be good. They're going to tell you how to obey God when they don't even know the true God, when they're breaking every one of His commandments, and they think that they're going to make a paradise without God and His grace through humanism, Pelagianism, without the true God. And he says, you look at these guys, really. That's one thing that really tipped me off, too. I never went for it. I always told you that. But every time I looked at these psychiatrists and psychologists, I said, you guys are idiots. You guys are weird, eccentric, goofy. You have no common sense. You're absolutely insane. Really. Everyone I was with, you guys are nuts. You're going to make me better? Look at you, pal. You're a piece of work. You don't even know the basic things about life. I'm glad I grew up in a city where I did with these street kids, because we never went for that kind of stuff. One thing for sure, if that psychologist lived where I did, he wouldn't live here too long. We had one kid we knew was a psychologist. Lived down the block from me. We beat hell out of him, you know? And then he never stopped the psychology, but he never came out of the house anymore. We won't be with him. You don't be talking that stuff with me, pal. At least I didn't lose the common sense in that arena. But everybody knows what I'm talking about. Look at these stupid goofballs that are trying to teach people how to be good. This verse is so powerful. For they who promise to drive away fears and troubles from a sick soul were sick themselves of a fear worthy to be laughed at. For though no terrible thing disturbed them, yet being scared with passing by of beasts and the hissing of serpents, they died for fear, and denying that they saw the air, which could by no means be avoided. They were scared of the very air they breathe in. Anybody who smokes marijuana, too, and does these drugs knows that. They just start walking around, they're fearful and everything. Paranoid, fearful, scared of everything. You know, look at all these people anyways, intellectuals out there, fearful of, what do they call it, the global warming? They're all afraid. Look at them. Ooh, the sun's getting too hot. If you put your faith in God, that stuff don't mean nothing to me. Even people are abusing nature, which is wrong. I don't support that, but these guys always go too far. This world's going to burn up anyway. You didn't see nothing yet if you're worried about global warming. Wait till Jesus Christ comes the second time. You're going to see global warming then. It's going to be a blowtorch over the whole earth. And our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to burn every wicked thing off of the face of this stinking, rotten current earth, and He's going to create a new earth. All right? That's what you should be afraid of God. But God shows you how silly these people get. And watch, he goes on, he says, for he's talking about they were afraid of the air they breathed in even. For as wickedness is fearful, it beareth witness of its condemnation. For a troubled conscience always forecasts grievous things. For fear is nothing else but a yielding up of the suckers of the thought. That means when God takes His grace away, though, then you had the guy, I remember it was FDR, he says, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Real easy for him to say, right? That's a mockery against God, first of all. Because the only way you can be protected from this is by God's grace, who prevents you from being fearful of the world, because you're now fearful of God and you're worshiping the true God. These Pelagianists believe, well, the only reason you're afraid is because you don't have willpower. Where's your willpower? Just sit home and say, I will not fear, I will not fear, I will not fear. Well, I'm sorry, if God pulls His grace away, you are going to fear. It's more than just willpower. Willpower without God's grace stinks. It's evil. It always goes wrong. Grace of God is always the first thing we need to be good, and then our will cooperates with that grace. Without God's actual grace, you can't have a good thought, you can't do a good thing. I don't care how strong your will even is in its natural capacity, without God's actual grace, you can't even activate your will to do anything good. And what's happening here, why you're under this curse, is because you're already turned away from God. And people say, why can I not prevent myself? I don't like this world I got myself into. Well, because you're not going to the true God and asking Him to give His grace to you to deliver you from this demonic possession and from your own sinfulness, which has now put you into a position where you really cannot get out of it. As much as people are trying to get these people cured from one illness, they go and they have another illness. They're not really being cured. Even if they're cured of one thing, they go into another addiction. And it says, and while there is less expectation from within, the greater doth it count the ignorance of that cause which bringeth the torment. But they that joined that night in which nothing could be done, and which came upon them from the lowest and deepest hell, slept the same sleep. Now he's talking about the night when our Lord went out and actually killed them then. First of all, they were afraid of stupid things they shouldn't have been. See, this is what God really puts the kibosh on them, because they go against Him. They were first afraid of the air, then of leaves falling. Then God really did strike them with the plague in Egypt when it came through and killed the firstborn. Then that was just like, you can even imagine some of them dying from fear even. It says in Scripture sometimes too, a lot of people are going to die just from the fear of the coming of Christ. We're sometimes molested with fear of monsters, sometimes fainted away, their soul failing them, for a sudden and unlooked for fear was come upon them. Moreover, in other words, bad enough that they fear things that shouldn't be feared. Then when the thing that they should be feared really comes upon them, it's a ba-boom. It's the last thing. It overwhelms them. You know, the people who love money, when they said you had that stock market crash years ago in the 20s or whatever, people were jumping out of windows and killing themselves. What is that all about? It was only money. Even if you lost all your money, you can still survive. They didn't kill your body. What was that money, your life? And see, and God, and because they went to the extreme, and boom, because they loved money more than God. It was money was their God. And when their God was taken away from them, it was like you killed their God and their whole purpose of existence. Moreover, if any of them had fallen down, he was kept shut up in prison without irons. They're not even prisoners, but their own mind. Here's what he's going to get at, your own mind. You're a prisoner in your own mind. That's like even one of these good movies we saw about St. John when he says, your chains are not, when the guy was in prison, your chains are not the ones that are on your physical body. Your chains are in your heart. You carry them around wherever you go. For if anyone were a husbandman or a shepherd or a laboring in the field and was suddenly overtaken, he endured a necessity from which he could not fly. For they were all bound together with one chain of darkness. Whether it were a whistling wind or the melodious voice of birds among the spreading of branches of trees. They got paranoid at a bird's chirping. Oh, come on, you marijuana smokers and all you LSD takers and all that. Tell me, and cocaine even does it to you. I've seen it. Cocaine messes the mind up like that. They walk around, oh, what's that? It was just a bird. It was a bird. You sure it's a bird? They get scared of birds chirping and all that. I mean, see the curse that comes upon them? And it says, for they were all bound together with one chain of darkness in their mind. Spiritual addiction does this to you. Spiritual addiction of marijuana we're talking about here. Particularly hallucinogenic drugs and also apostasy from God, like these theologians are like that. Just follow these guys. I always talk about these guys. They're eccentric, you know. Whether it were a whistling wind or the melodious voice of birds among the spreading branches of trees or the fall of water running down with violence or a waterfall. And how many times I've told you, brother, about one of our brothers who got a letter from an old lady that was a little rough and he went crazy. You thought that the lady beat him up, hit him over the head, took away his home and everything. You understand? These guys have a fear worthy to be laughed at. Why are people under this curse? Apostasy from God is the main first reason. But this also mimics, when you do the marijuana thing, it's like you went to theology school for 16 years when you smoked that first marijuana thing. Congratulations, you don't have to go to a perverted theology school for 5 years to become like that. Just smoke one marijuana thing and you'll become just like these perverted theologians that we read. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Their writings, and I hate them too now because they're in hell burning. I hate them right now because they're in hell. If I can drag them up from hell and peel their skin off and pour vinegar on and throw them back down, I would when I read their books. It's all calculated to deny Almighty God, His omnipotent power, His all-knowing power, and His truths that He taught us through His Catholic faith. All these theology books are meant to throw your mind off guard so you cannot know what is white and what is black, what is true and what is false. And if you even did, you can't make any judgments regarding any of these things. And by the time you're done reading those things, you're going to feel like you did smoke some marijuanas or something. And if you kept reading it, you're worthy of it. These guys are just a bunch of perverts who created a false world for themselves. This is what apostasy is all about, folks. It starts in the house of God. That's what apostasy means. If you're already out of the house of God, like the Jews from the Old Covenant, they're already apostates. They're not our main problem. The main problem in the world today is apostate Catholics, fallen away Catholics, bad theologians. Now, but all these things I'm reading to you right now here, also, anybody who's also done these marijuana drugs and things can relate to this stuff, right? And these guys weren't even doing the marijuana drugs. God allowed the devil to go in there and do this to them. This happens to people. You don't have to do the marijuana drug to do this. You can just be a very, very grievously sinning against God, and He'll bring this upon you. Anybody who's idol worshippers all fall prey to these things. So it goes again, for they were all bound together with one chain of darkness, whether it were a whistling wind or the melodious voice of birds among the spreading branches of trees, or a fall of water running down with violence, or the mighty noises of stones tumbling down, or the running that could not be seen of beasts playing together, or the roaring voice of the wild beast, or the rebounding echo from the highest mountains. These things made them swoon with fear. Swoon with fear. Oh, they're shaking in their boots and there's really nothing out there at all. That's a curse from God. You humanists that think you can bring your own paradise. Look what happens to man without God's grace. That you're looking at it right now. And I tell you, if you don't fear the true God, you're going to fear one or more of these things we're talking about or all of them. And that's the end stage of what God really curses you with, because you didn't look to Him for help. Because you put your confidence in this fallen world that is not God. I don't care even if something really is good in of itself, if it's not, and you idolize it, you're in trouble. Anybody who's done marijuana, though, and that's what they do. They walk around swooning with fear. I better not walk around the corner. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Someone's coming out there. Did you hear that? That's the paranoia. And they're always depressed. It's a bummer, man. I'm depressed. You like the way you are? Shut up about it. I heard about it now 3 months. Stop doing what's making you depressed. What's making you depressed? The marijuana ain't helping you, son. Stop doing that. Maybe you'll have a chance to get a little bit better. You see? Now, if you talk to a kid like that, that's God's grace working on him, and God will give him some grace to try to get out of that. But I will tell you, if God does not decide to give his grace to that person is not going to get out of it. So the first move all you people got to do is go to the Catholic God and ask him to help you. Admit that you're a lousy, rotten human without his grace and help, and go to and ask and say, Lord, I know I need to go to the true God also, that I can't worship false gods. Help me. And I'm telling you who the true God is to save you a lot of trouble. He's a Catholic God. He's only being taught by me here now in Tier C with us few Catholics. If you want to take the quickest path to your cure, and that's the only cure. There is no other cure. And look, it says here, it says, so they swooned with fear, for the whole world was enlightened with a clear light, and none were hindered in their labors, but over them only was spread a heavy night, an image of that darkness which was to come upon them. But they were to themselves more grievous than that darkness. He's saying they are going to get destroyed, and they do have something to be feared about. But all these little fears that they shouldn't be fearing is just a prelude to the thing that's really going to hit them when God comes and destroys them. It's going to overwhelm them. And then he's going to take them away, and they're going to end up down in hell for all eternity. And people generally talk about a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience will do that to you. So here it is, but we're talking about what happens when you apostatize from God. And all these drugs is just a quick way to get a kid to apostatize without having to read bad theology books for like 5 years. You know, just smoke a marijuana thing, you know, or do an LSD pill and you're doomed. But first of all, for you even to get to that point, I will tell you now, you're either a bad Catholic or you're already a nominal Catholic and you already fell away because you wouldn't be doing that. Instead of going to God for the real answers. That marijuana thing and the LSD is just an end result of the main crime, which is apostasy from God, which these bad theologians have been paving a road for since the Protestant rebellions. We've got one bad Catholic, so-called Catholic theologian book after another. They didn't speak like in the Middle Ages in the Church Fathers. I read the Church Fathers. I read the theologians after the 1400s onward, and they rot to hell. Those theologians. They stink. I tell you something. If they didn't have marijuana back then, I don't know what they were smoking. But they didn't need to smoke anything. It was apostasy from God, you see? And then God brought that same effect upon them. If you read their books, that's what it does to you. Look at a piece of perverted art that these modern artists are doing. You can't make no sense out of it. It's not reality. We call this heretical. We call modern art heresy. And we call modern music, that is, even classical music is either good or we call it heretical. It's heretical if you can't catch a tune on it. The Jews came out with a lot of heretical classical music. And it sounds like... No sense. And you go, what is that all about, man? It's like a mess. Or you look at modern art. That's heresy in art, you see? And that's just a reflection of the worst heresy, which started with the faith. And that's where the mind really gets thrown off balance. Marijuana and all this drug addiction is the end result of that. So I'm telling you people, if you want to overcome your addictions, you got to go to the true God. That's the true answer, because your biggest problem is not even physically addictive drugs. These other drugs I spoke about were not physically, it's spiritual, mental addiction. And that's the thing you got to overcome. And only the true God can truly cure from this, a Catholic God. Now, you may fool yourself and think you were cured by one thing because you got off of one thing, but you're going to go into another thing immediately right after that because you're not filling your life with good things. If you want to try, read my book, How to Be a Good Catholic. Now, I have a chapter in there, To Be Holy and Sin No More. Read that. I'm telling you right now, read that. I'll say it again for the Holy Trinity. Read it. For each of the divine persons of the Holy Trinity, read it. Because in there, it's going to tell you how to get your only cure. Stop going to these Jewish psychiatrists and psychologists and self-help groups and these people that are trying to tell you how you can get better and trying to take more pills to get better. It's all a balloon. Every time you do that, you're getting yourself in deeper. You're getting yourself into more heresy and apostasy and idolatry. That's not the solution. It's not the answer. Just look at your own life and look at the people you're going to. Follow that guy around and see what his life looks like. And he's going to tell you how to be good? No. Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.